T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He swings!
Alexander Steen on his forehand, hits a deep to left fielder! That's way back!
Get up.
Shoot, score! And it's a gunner! Bring out the Zamboni!
Oh, yes!
This is a legendary KMOX Sports Open Line, presented by Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford, celebrating over 50 years serving St. Louis on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
It's the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you on KMOX. It is the Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019 edition of the program. Happy to be with you. Well, basically all night tonight. We have Sports Open Line right now until 7 o'clock. Then Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day presented by Ameren, which is every Wednesday, 7 until 9 here on KMOX. It'll be preempted at 8:30 for Blues pregame. And then the Blues and the Anaheim Ducks at 9 o'clock. I've got your pregame, your intermissions, your postgame. Hanging out for the final Blues game before the All-Star break and before the bye week. So a lot to talk about for 6 hours or so here on your home for the Cardinals and the Blues. Going to head down to Florida in a moment to check in with Mike Claiborne. He'll be with me for Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day. We have quite the guest list tonight on the show from Winter Warm-Up. Check this out. Andrew Miller, John Mozeliak, Alex Reyes, Mike Schilt, Mike Shannon, Paul Goldschmidt, Dexter Fowler, Matt Carpenter. It's pretty good. That's like almost your lineup right there. You could play almost a full game with that group. So we'll head to Florida, chat with Claibs, then he'll be with me at 7 o'clock, and then 8:30 pregame, 9 o'clock Blues and Anaheim Ducks. If you want to get in touch with the program, I invite you to do so at 436-7900, 314-436-7900, or 800-925-1120. Follow me on Twitter. Tweet me at C-H-R-A-B-E, C-H-R-A-B-E. Follow us on Twitter at KMOX Sports. That is where you will get breaking news, behind-the-scenes photos, and more. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Ben Boyd, the executive producer of the program.
Does he have a future in the NHL?
I don't think so. I saw him skate at the Winter Classic. Mike Anderson is
he produces.
He sure does. In the KMOX studios, it is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. It's going to get cold. Are there any maniacs that would choose the extreme cold over the extreme heat? I know both are dangerous. And in a perfect world, I guess you'd live in San Diego and maybe not deal with either of them. But my goodness. At least when it's really, really hot, it doesn't, like, inhibit your ability to get things done or cause, like, potentially issues with your car. Like there is nothing worse than having a car issue in the extreme cold, right? There is nothing worse. And at least in the heat, you can still, like, do stuff. You can get around easily or play golf or, you know, do whatever. Now, I'll put it this way. I would much rather at night and in my home deal with the cold than the heat. And like if either the heat is going to go out or the AC is going to go out, I'll take the heat going out every day. Again, not ideal, but I can put more stuff on. And during the winter, my bills are actually way, way, way more manageable at my place because I don't care. I'll keep it cranked to low 60s during the day. I'll just put clothes on. But in the summer, I'm also keeping that thing cranked to low 60s. And that's when old Ameren really gets a good chunk of my paycheck. But be safe out in this ridiculous cold. I bring all this up because, well, it's going to be around 0 degrees tonight. Mike Claiborne is already down in Florida. Of course he is. So we'll visit with Claibs here in a bit. Hello there. Hey, Marty.
Hey, good to hear you tonight.
What's going on, man?
Well, I have a question. I live in Central Iowa, but I like listening to your program.
Thank you.
And I was watching the Rams-Saints game the other night, and Kurt Warner was one of the commentators, and a couple times he slipped and, you know, said, well, St. Louis, oh, no, I mean Los Angeles, you know. And it just kind of made me think, what is the feeling in the greater St. Louis area about the Rams getting into the Super Bowl? Is everybody just hate them and moved on to the Chiefs or some other team, or are there still Rams fans in and around St. Louis?
Well, it's a very interesting question. And I think I have an interesting perspective about it because I did not grow up in St. Louis, and I grew up in Chicago, a Bears fan. That is really the one Chicago team that I still am emotionally invested in and that I still root for. So coming here to St. Louis, I saw the tail end of the Rams. And my observation is that overwhelmingly, people in St. Louis say, screw the Rams, Stan Kroenke, go to hell. Not necessarily the players, but just St. Louis got such a raw deal from the Rams and from the NFL that it's, I would root for anyone other than the Rams. So I think that's by and large where people are. Then I think you have a group that says, well, I'll still watch the NFL maybe for fantasy football or gambling purposes, but it would be really hard for me to emotionally just start rooting for another team. I think that is the majority of people. Then you have people that have started rooting for the Chiefs or maybe the Colts to a smaller extent or maybe the team of a favorite college player. And then I think the smallest sliver that you have are people that still genuinely are massive Rams fans. And I've got one of my best friends in the world, Mike Shelley. Shout out to Mike. He is still a massive, massive Rams fan to the point that he was wearing his jersey last weekend while he was watching the NFC Championship game. And I asked him, I'm like, dude, how can you still be a Rams fan with what they did and what they did to the city? And his answer to me, which I think is completely fair if you want to believe this, is, well, the players didn't do it, and I still love the players, and I still love rooting for the players, and I'm not going to stop rooting for the players. So I think the majority of people say screw them. Then you've got people who are indifferent to the NFL while still hating the Rams, and they'll root for whoever the Rams are playing. Then you've got people who have changed teams, and then I think the smallest segment, maybe they're with the people who have changed teams, the people like my buddy Mike.
Uh-huh.
So, well, and you know what? I think all of them are fair opinions because as sports fans, sometimes you just feel some way.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I was just kind of curious about that. And then hearing Kurt slip a couple times.
Yeah, And he won't be the only one. It's like the San Diego thing. I appreciate it, Marty. Interesting question. Tweet me if you feel like you're in one of those camps. All right, Claibs is going to be with us next. He will check in from Florida. We'll get ready for Countdown. We'll get ready for Blues. Chris Rabby with you, Sports Open Line, until, well, I guess after Blues tonight in KMOX.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
The Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
On KMOX.
So, you know, Chris, he's got to stir things up. He's got to ask me what I think of it. And I didn't let him really finish the question. I just...
She put $900 on the fifth horse in the sixth race. I think his name was Chip Savoy.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Rabby with you. Mike Claiborne joins us from Florida. He will be along for Cardinals Countdown to opening day. That's from 7 until 9. First of all, I've got a bone to pick with you.
Go right ahead.
We've got wind chills that are going to dip below zero here. And I know nobody feels bad for me because I will be with you in about 3 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks. But Wow, how was the trip down to Florida, man? I know the grass is green. You don't even have to tell me that, but what's the weather like?
Weather's been, you know what? It's been cloudy.
Okay, here we go.
Today's the best day of the week.
Yeah, cry me a river.
You know, it was mid-70s, but the weather's supposed, we're supposed to get a lot of rain tomorrow, and the temperature's supposed to drop into the 60s over the weekend. It's not really, it's not going to be ideal weather, to be honest with you, for Florida. But other than that, everything else is good. There's some players that are here working out and throwing and running and all that other stuff, playing catch. I was at the gym yesterday, and I saw Yachty. He came in, and we caught up a little bit. Today, I'm in the gym, and Ahmad Rashad is there.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we started talking. We stopped the workout, and we were talking. I bet we were there for 45 minutes. And I don't know if you remember, you weren't around when he was in St. Louis. He was in St. Louis for 2 years playing for the Cardinals. And if you ever want to go back and talk about how dastardly the football Cardinals were to him, it was an embarrassment. It was embarrassing. It was racist. It was everything you could imagine in how they treated him. And it started with the fact that, you know, he was a guy who graduated from Oregon, a really good player. And they drafted him in the first round. The second year, he showed up to training camp with an earring, and he changed his name to Ahmad Rashad, and they didn't want to have anything to do with it in the media. And the organization, what they did was criminal. They traded him to Buffalo, and the general manager at the time was Joe Sullivan, and he put out some stories and rumors about him being mentally unstable and just a troublemaker, and just really he couldn't have gotten away with it today, Chris. And he had such a bad taste in his mouth about St. Louis and how he was treated. He said, "I don't even fly over St. Louis."
I can't believe.
And he went on to have a great career as a player and also
made,
as a broadcaster.
Four or five Pro Bowls, right?
Yeah, and you know,
and he looks like everybody he could remember, still play. I can't believe he's almost 70 years old.
He's almost 70, and Chris, he looks like if you ask him to do a post route, he could probably still catch it. He may not get there on time, but so we had a great visit, and we're going to line him up and try and do something with him down the road. And, you know, he was asking about this guy and that guy, and, you know, Bob Costas is one of his dear friends, and he had heard that Bob got honored at the Baseball Writers Dinner. So I had a good time with him. So that's all I got from Florida.
So you must have been over at my spot, or I guess Yachty's spot. Did they
under
take
new,
care of you?
Under new management now. It's the Palm Beach Club, Palm Beach Athletic Club or something.
Okay, no longer the – well, we won't even say. They're not sponsors, but, you know, maybe down there. Well, that's cool. It's unbelievable.
And it's a talent pool over there, too.
Oh, well, that in and of itself. But the thing I always tell people – it's unbelievable some of the people you see down in that area, especially now that, you know, so much of the PGA Tour makes that their off-season home. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw on Instagram today, like, Justin Thomas, he's just over at the Bears Club, just working on his game and practicing. You see these guys out and about. You see him at Tiger's Restaurant. It's really, really cool, and it's such a cool community.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? The thing that really makes it cool, nobody bothers you.
Yeah.
They leave you alone. Like today, this woman, when I was leaving, she said, "I know that guy from somewhere. I just don't know where." And so somebody else said, "Well, that's Ahmad Rashad." And you know how she remembered him? Oh, yeah, he was the one who proposed to Cliff Huxtable's wife on Thanksgiving Day. And, of course, she was talking about Felicia. I can't think of her. Debbie Allen's sister. And I'm like, yeah, you can remember that, but you can't remember the guy's name. But people don't bother you here, and that's a cool thing. And, I mean, you know what it's like when you're down here. Nobody bothers you. They leave you alone. Well, they give you your space at the table.
Well, that's because I'm the only, you know, when you see someone in a Chevy Malibu at a stoplight, you know they're not anybody because everyone else is in a Bentley or an Aston Martin. I say,
Else's windows are tinted. That's a good point.
And God bless, you know, the great people at whatever rental car place I get my car from every year. But, you know, I've never felt so poor as pulling up at a stoplight in downtown Jupiter, Florida. It really humbles you quick. Ahmad Rashad and Felicia Rashad's daughter is an incredible actress now.
That's what he was telling me. Yeah.
She's been all over the place. She's in...
Now, you know, he used to be married to Woody Johnson's wife.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's been married a
few
times.
And apparently, the divorce proceedings, he probably was handsomely rewarded for his divorce, from what I'm told.
Smart man. Yeah, their daughter's in... she's in the show Billions on Showtime right now, which I can't recommend enough.
Telling.
One of my favorite recent binge watches. Well, let's talk a little bit about...
You have so much binge watching to do.
And what do you think I'm going to do for a month in Florida?
Well, you know, really, if you want to get in a guys club, you got to watch The Sopranos.
I've seen Sopranos. I need to
You did see that.
Although it was it ended 10 years ago, so it was probably through college. We watched it everyone who hadn't watched it got caught up before the final season,
okay.
But it's been like 12 years, so I need to go back and rewatch it from the start.
Okay.
I saw you
because
I was
under the impression you hadn't watched it, so.
No, I'm pretty good on TV. It's the movies that
I've
got nothing.
We're talking to a guy who hasn't seen The Dirty Dozen,
I've got the TV binge watch addiction. That's
all right.
That's
so here's what we're going to go on Twitter, and we're going to ask our followers to give us 10 guy flicks, must watch guy flicks,
and then we'll do one every week, starting down in Florida and carry it through until the start of the season.
To watch. And it could be in any era.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not talking about The Breakfast Club or any of the kid stuff. I'm talking about real.
Yeah,
Dirty Dozen it would be one.
I've got
Saving Private Ryan.
I've got
now. They don't
of time.
All have to be military flicks, but I mean, you know,
I've got plenty
so
of time
we'll have
while
to do
we're
that.
Down there. I got plenty of time while we're down there. So
you'd be amazed at what that'll do when you go out on a date to be able to rattle off some stuff like
just
that.
Rattle off. Just you know, well, I don't know if the girls I'm going out with, if any of them have seen Dirty Dozen.
Well, that's a good point. You may be.
I'd be a little past.
You might want to talk to her father about that. Yeah, that's a good point.
So, in a month, we've got baseball. And I really think this past weekend, Klibs, with winter warm-up, with the caravans, with the baseball writers dinner, and really this year, this might be the first time that just about every single player was in St. Louis for the event. It's not even the unofficial, it's the official.
I think
official
Jed Jerko
start of the season.
Was the only one.
Yeah, and he said he had a family emergency or something come up.
Wait a minute, that was the one he used last year.
Oh, well, I won't speak for Jed, but
okay.
We even had some legitimate news come out of the weekend. It was a great weekend. I know your caravan was great, mine was great as well, and everybody's fired up because it just, like, this thing's almost here. I know a lot of guys either were in Jupiter or went back down this weekend or yesterday or Monday to get things going at the complex.
Well, and I'll give you a good example. Miles Michaelis was on a 525 flight that morning, Monday morning. And I went over to the complex that afternoon, and guess who was playing catch with somebody?
Wow.
Miles Michaelis. I mean, I just think there's a new aura about this team and guys. And, you know, the Yachty thing was amusing. So I'm with Flaherty. And he's reading it to me, and he just says, game on, you know. And I'm saying to myself, okay, this is coming from a guy who's been talking to Bob Gibson, so I kind of get the idea where this may be going. And just what Yachty said and how he said it, and, you know, he's right. And, you know, you know Chris Bryant. I know Chris. I think I was one of the first people to interview him on the road, and he couldn't be a nicer guy. I think he was trying to be funny, and it just didn't go over well.
Yeah, that's the thing.
As for Ryan Dempster,
it wasn't even that funny.
Yeah, but for Ryan Dempster to act like somebody actually wanted him, and he told his agent or told somebody, anybody anywhere was saying, dude, you weren't good enough to play for the Cardinals when you were pitching. So where you feel like you want to take a shot, I don't get. But, you know, as Yachty, we were talking about this yesterday, he said, you know, I understand when guys, you know, say, well, you know, that's a team that we play tough and there's some guys that don't like each other. He said, I get that. But when you come after a city of people who support baseball as well as anybody, you know, I give Yachty credit. Yachty had his facts together. He said, you know, we had the third largest attendance in baseball on an annual basis. And when you look at the size of our city, that says something. And, you know, he took it personal. And I think everybody admires him for doing it. I remember when he and Brandon Phillips had their moment, it was something similar. And I don't know where it's going to go from here. I'm sure everybody's going to say, boys, let's settle down before we start playing. But that really kind of lit the whole city up, man. Everybody was fired up after that.
Yeah, everyone was, which I think is great. You know, I think it's great to have, you know, the beehive poked a little bit. It's great to chirp a little bit. And it's great when both teams are really, really good. And I don't know, I'd have to look at the odds from a Vegas perspective. I guess the Cubs, even when they weren't good, people would always, you know, bet on them, or you know, maybe the expectations would be a little bit higher than reality. But if you look right now, Klibs, if you handicapped it right now in the division, and I know there are still moves to be made, although I'm not sure the Cubs are going to be making any moves of consequence. How would you, right now on January 23rd, handicap this division right now? Because I think you could make the argument it's Brewers, Cardinals, Cubs, or maybe even Cardinals, Brewers right there, and then the Cubs.
Cardinals, Brewers, Cubs, Brewers, Cardinals, Cubs, or Brewers, Cardinals, Cincinnati.
And I think that there's maybe a little unrest in Chicago because of some of what's not happening and because of
even you got the comments, a couple of bad contracts.
Well, and even the comments by Tom Ricketts that it could be true, but fans don't want to hear it, that you know, we've got to control our costs and, you know, we're doing a lot of things at the ballpark. And I give them credit, regardless of what you think of that park, and we won't go down that road, but, you know, they're financing it and they're spending a lot of money. So fans don't always want to hear that. But maybe there's some angst over that that then gets directed to other teams or other cities. I don't know. But
well,
I think if both
I
teams are great, it'll be
point.
Great. And 2015 was one of the best weeks I thought that I've been a part of when they actually played in the postseason.
Well, and here's the other thing. As I said, they've got a couple of bad contracts that makes it look bad. But they spent money, okay? They thought they were making good investments. And you know, the Cardinals have spent money. I mean, think about how many guys have left St. Louis. You have Albert and you have Hayward, you know, and neither one of them have ever been better than what they were here. And but fans feel like, man, you're building this and you're building that and you should be able to spend money. Well, Cardinals are spending money. You know, I mean, everybody was talking about, well, we ought to sign Harper. You don't need to spend that kind of money on one player. You're going to be competitive. And I said this to you before. You know, if Harper was that good, then why hasn't the Washington Nationals have had better teams than the Cardinals? Why haven't they won anything? And, you know, I just think that there's other things that Cardinals can do with their money. I think they're two players away from really being the team that we expect them to be. I think they need a left-handed bat off the bench. I like to see another left-hander who can get strikeouts in the bullpen. And then I'll take my chances. But I think overall you got to just say, hey, look, this division is going to be tight. And I use Cincinnati, and I mean it. They get enough pitching, especially in that ballpark, they're going to be a handful. And they could be the team, Chris, that prevents the Cardinals, Cubs, or Brewers from getting into postseason.
Chris Rabia, Mike Claiborne with you. It's the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. We have Cardinals countdown to opening day coming up at 7 o'clock. That'll go right here on KMOX until 8:30. Then I'll have the Blues pregame skate at 8:30, 9 o'clock, the Blues and Ducks. What do you make of this team, Klibs, that after tonight, and especially with the way that the All-Star break and the bye weeks work now in the NHL, trying to level up when teams have their bye weeks, Blues will play tonight and then will not play again until February 2nd?
They are who they are, okay? I mean, we've had various dates on the calendar that we circle and say, well, you know, they can still do this and they can still do that, and you know, this will happen. And I think the latest one is, well, they're only 5 points out of a playoff spot. But every time they deal with prosperity, they don't know how to handle it. And I just think it's a pattern. I think it's a cultural pattern that this hockey team has. And there's nothing you can do about it unless you're going to move some players. Now, the question is this. There are a lot of teams that think they're still in this thing. So are you going to see more deals? Or are you going to see teams hold on to players? I think this is going to be the most interesting run leading up to the trade deadline, because there are a lot of teams who still feel like they're in it. You know, I mean, the Hawks aren't in it. The Kings aren't in it. And I don't think the Blues are in it, to be honest with you. But there are some teams that are going to try and do some horse trading. And I think you have to be careful in what you're trading for or trading away at this point.
If you're the Blues, what are you trying to do? Who are you trying to move?
I don't want to hear a rebuild.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you try to tweak for the future while also trying to contend this year?
You could, but here's the question that I think is important. You know, we heard so much about Thomas and Kyrou and Clem Costin, and I don't know if there's anybody else that's in that discussion. They're not playing them. You know, Thomas is playing, but, you know, it's been sporadic. Kyrou's got enough frequent flyer miles to take a trip around the world. Clem Costin hasn't been with us. You know, if you're going to, you know, if the guys are this good, then just play them. And don't play them on the fourth line. I mean, you've got some guys that are taking up a lot of ice time that probably can't help you anymore. And you got to just bite the bullet, man, and just say, we're going to give these guys some ring time now and play them through the season so we now know what we have and know what to expect from them for next year. Because if you try and do this overhaul in the offseason and say, hey, come out and look at our kids next year, they may burn the Enterprise Center down.
That's kind of how the Cardinals got back into it this year, right? Like, some of it was because of trades. You move Tommy Pham to create an opportunity in center field. There's an injury to Dexter Fowler, which creates an opportunity for Tyler O'Neill. But for better or for worse, those were your guys. You brought up guys.
And now you know what you have.
Yeah, and gave chances to guys like Gomber and Hudson and
Ponce de León.
Yeah, I mean, you had been doing it since the beginning of the year with a guy like Hicks, Jairo Munoz. So, I mean, those guys got opportunities, and sometimes that lights a fire in a team. Look at, like, the Buffalo Sabres right now, man. They've got young kids on that team and guys who maybe were looked over by other organizations, and they're going out there and they're playing great. They've been one of the best stories
all year.
And, Chris,
they're not playing them on the fourth line. You know, so my question is, you know, how much longer do you want to watch Steen or Fabry and some other guys that just aren't getting it done and they're not part of your future? You gotta play. You gotta find out what you have, and start thinking about this year and getting them some quality time, and then making sure that they understand what's needed of them when they go into the season next year. I mean, there's about three or four guys that we probably seen all we need to know. You know, and I just think we need to do it now. You're not going anywhere. You know, so, I mean, be prepared to buy out a contract or two, not renew a contract, and move on. Because this current product is, and I said it before, maybe the most embarrassing collection of talent I've seen in a Blues uniform in a long, long time. And I'm not talking about the era when Dave Checketts and they were throwing out journeymen, minor leaguers. This team has legitimate talent, at least we thought they did. And all they've done is embarrass themselves in the uniform that they wear. And it's time to move on.
That's the
you
most.
Know, and as I said, they're 5 points out of a spot. I'd rather have some kids that are hungry, vying for 5 points or trying to make it up, than a bunch of guys who have lost their skill level or don't care anymore.
That's the most disappointing thing, is I think the personnel you had, the moves you made over the summer, and the expectations, I think rightfully so, that people had. And, you know, the one bright spot who has even exceeded expectations will be the guy who's playing in the All-Star game this weekend, Ryan O'Reilly. And I thought Joey Vitale and Darren Pang made a great point this morning in their game preview at stlouisblues.com that not only has O'Reilly been great, but he's been great with not a lot of great around him, which I think is even more impressive.
I don't know how this guy's on his third team. You know,
I
mean, he's been everything you would ever hope for. You know, his work ethic, his skill set, and just his approach, doesn't take bad penalties, is always involved. He just does everything you'd hope for. But you know, at some point, you got to get him some help. And, you know, they just got to change some things. And I know it's hard to deal with, but, man, you can't have another year like this.
All right, so 8:30, Blues pregame skate, 9 o'clock, Blues and Ducks. And we have Cardinals countdown to opening day coming up here on KMOX from 7 until 8:30, 7 until 9 in the network. Before we get out of here and get ready for the show at the top of the hour, and we'll get to this at 7 o'clock. We'll talk Hall of Fame. Mariano Rivera, Mike Mussina, Roy Halladay, and Edgar Martinez get the call. And more than anything, Klaibs, you can debate all day whether guys in the past should have been unanimous electees and, you know, why did it take this long? And is Mariano Rivera the most worthy player to be the first unanimous induction? But I just hope that moving forward, we can stop focusing on the unanimous induction and if there will be one and if there should be one. Like, cross that off the list and let's move on and actually debate the merits of the players, not the merits of the vote total that ends up getting them in.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. To get 452 writers to agree on something is that's monumental. And, you know, I've said this to you before. There's too many of them voting anyway. But they got it right. And I guess the next challenge we'll see is the steroid guys. And I think, you know, that thing seems like they're going to probably miss out. And that's going to put it on the Veterans Committee. And I don't know if they're going to take them either. But you're right. They need to turn the page and focus on guys who are worthy. Now, my concern is how many guys are worthy? You know, Jeter's going to go in.
He could even be unanimous next year. He could be.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Some guy from New England will make sure that doesn't happen.
You think Larry Walker gets in next year? I think one of the most encouraging parts of the ballot this year was to see him jump to almost 55%.
I think he's on the cusp. You know, he has that label, what did he hit away from Coors Field? I think he hit like 280, 281. That's pretty good. You know, so I think, you know, you're going to have to go to page two or three of his record to really assess it. But again, I thought Larry Walker was a 5-tool player. And when you're a 5-tool player and the consistency that he showed, now I know he had some injuries late in his career, but there wasn't anything Larry Walker couldn't do on a baseball field, and he did it exceptionally well.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, especially looking at his overall skill set, like I can't really penalize a guy for playing at Coors Field.
Playing in a, yeah, exactly.
Because he was, you still, know, he was one of the best to ever do it there.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we nitpick, think some people want to be loud in the room for no reason.
Yeah, like if you penalize that, you could almost say, well, what if you take Mariano Rivera off of those Yankee teams that were one of the greatest stretches of teams ever? If you put him on the Cubs in the mid-90s, how many save opportunities does he get and how many saves does he end up with?
Yeah.
You can't really do that.
That's a good point. Yeah.
It's like the same thing. I can't penalize Lee Smith for pitching for a bunch of different teams because a bunch of teams wanted him and he was that good.
He was always in demand and he never disappointed.
Hey, I can't penalize him for that. I can't.
No, I agree.
I want to throw one more thing at you, Klaibs, right here before we wrap up, because SLU playing tonight against Duquesne, and I saw Bob Ramsey a little bit ago on Twitter earlier this afternoon. He tweeted, "I don't get scoops very often, but I couldn't sit on this any longer. Earl Austin Jr. has been elected to the Billiken Hall of Fame." What great news.
Wow. That's incredible. That's great. You know, I've known Earl from day one. As a matter of fact, Earl replaced me on the broadcast. And there's not a better ambassador for St. Louis sports, and especially St. Louis University, than Earl Austin Jr. As Rick Wallace once said, if the kid's got game, then Earl knows his name. He's a passionate person about sports, especially high school sports. And to call him a friend is an honor for me, and for him to go into the Hall of Fame. Have they announced when the ceremony is?
No, I maybe somewhere, but I just saw this tweet from Rammer and wanted to pass along the news.
Well, that's great news. I'm tickled pink. This is news to me. I may call Earl in the middle of the game and say, "Hey, what are you doing? Congratulations." I mean, you've been around Earl. I mean, he's the nicest person you'll ever see. Oh, yeah. And if anybody has something negative to say about Earl, then you better move away from him because lightning might strike at any minute.
Oh, and they got a heck of a team.
Just an incredible person. A great representative of St. Louis. I get on Earl for two things. One, when we used to play pickup basketball, he never knew what an assist was. He never passed the ball.
It's going up.
And two, you know, when we list the greatest, the top 10 centers in the NBA, I always catch him on this. Earl, who are you going to take, Patrick Ewing or your uncle, Wes Unseld? So, you know, I always get him in the trick bag on that. But you couldn't meet a better person. And as I said, not just an ambassador for St. Louis University, but for the city of St. Louis, our community, Earl is one of the great ambassadors, and it couldn't happen to a better person.
Well, and Slew at the top of the hour trying to remain undefeated in A-10 play. All right, Klebs, we will catch you here in a couple of minutes for Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day presented by Ameren.
All right, I'm looking forward to it. We got a lot to talk about, some great interviews over the weekend.
Back in a second on KMOX.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX.
All right, thank you to Mike Claiborne for joining us. He'll be with us in a couple of minutes as we get Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day started. 7 until 8:30 here on KMOX, 7 to 9 in the network. And at 8:30, I have your Blues pregame skate. Blues and Anaheim Ducks get started from Anaheim at 9 o'clock tonight. Final game for the Blues before the break. Ben Boyd's our executive producer, Mike Anderson of the house. Zach Schmidt here as well, helping out. This is a bunch of stuff edition. Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Online, back with Cardinals Countdown Opening Day next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.